Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hot news, neighborhood goss. This is going to be a nightmare for sound design, but my neighbor's got a rooster.
Oh, hey, my neighbors have rooster and chickens. And it's not too bad. It's only like certain times of the day that they make all the noise. So
I just open up my back door and because I was like, what is no?
You open up your back door and you're like, quiet on the pack. That's what you say.
Wow.
I was like, grr. And I was just like, no, just out my back door. No.
I live in 120 square feet in Times Square, so you will hear a siren, and I'm sorry, Brian, in advance.
Oh,
I heard one already, and I was like, someone's in a city. I like the peppering of a siren in the background.
It's dreamy.
It's either that or my drug addict neighbors, so, and I'm not kidding.
Drug addict neighbor's also a rooster. It's crazy.
Well, he's a real cock.
Guys, welcome to Sidework Podcast. I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
Hi, guys. I'm your other host, Andrea Wallace.
And joining us today is a third co-host and guest for the first time on the podcast is Michael Munoz, joining us from Times Square, Manhattan.
What? Hey, y'all. Hey.
Ugh, that's how you intro yourself, okay?
Yeah, I mean, how else does one do it?
Well, have Brian put like a little echo on that so it like right at the end will echo.
Yes. We're going to auto-tune you, baby. What if we auto-tune him for the entire episode?
You are experimenting with this new technique where we auto-tune our most fabulous guests that come on for us. They sound incredible. Well, yeah, let's just try it out. Should we try it out?
Yeah, let's. Well, you guys, exciting news that we have Michael with us because he's got a food-related podcast that y'all should be checking out. It's called In Yo Mouth Pod, and he has got a wealth of episodes you can check out. Like us. So a big binging worthy catalog. And he's here today to talk all things food and serving and, you know, all the shit that Sidework does. So welcome, 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 Michael.
Thank you for having me. I'm really, really excited. And thanks for the plug. I always say start from the back. It's a metaphor for life when you listen to my podcast. You know?
Got to know your way around the back.
Honey. Listen, because I can tell you, there's a lot of people out there who don't know their way around.
That is a
There's
fact.
A whole episode about it, like two of mine ago, but that's a whole nother story.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know why. Here we go. Already off on a stupid tangent, but okay. So I went to see our chiropractor. Andrea and I go to the same person. So does Brian, our sound engineer. Our whole group of friends see this really crazy woo-woo chiropractor. He's amazing. He's like a comforting dad, whatever. I walk into their office yesterday and it's, you know, they do temperature check. You have to be masked. They're doing all the right things, right? And I come up to the door and I can see through the glass that there's just some bitch standing in there, yapping her mouth with no mask on, talking to them both. They're like standing there frozen with masks on. And I was like, hey, and I started like waving my arms, like trying to get their attention where I was like, I'm not coming in there. What are you doing? And then I heard the lady turn to me. She goes, oh, I guess I have to leave before she's comfortable coming in. And then she walked out and I had sunglasses on so she couldn't see the stink eye I was giving her. But I was like, yo, what, you know, and then I walked in and I was like, what was that? Like, who, what? They're like, she's not a patient. She works down the hall. We did not know she was just going to come charging in here. or whatever. And I mean, I had a meltdown. I was like, this is the only place I go once a week. Like, and I need this, like, so for my health and blah, blah, blah. And then they started talking some shit on her. She and her husband have an office down the hall, and they're both Los Angeles based lawyers who are anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers, and Scientologists. The trifecta of evil.
It sounds like it wore a square on that
lawyer,
one.
Lawyer, anti-vaxxer, anti-masker, Scientologist.
When someone says you're a square, you have to encompass all four of those things now.
But I was like, could you be more evil? I was like, I didn't have time yesterday, but I'm like, I'm going to Yelp their business. They don't know who they just messed with, but they believe they know more. They believe they know more than we do, and that what they had told my already insane sort of woo-woo chiropractor is that the government's trying to do mind control by making us wear masks so they don't wear one. And I'm like, you think the...
Just a friendly neighborhood. We share the same offices on the same floor, check-in.
And that's L.A.
No bigs.
And that's L.A. in a nutshell, you know?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I was...
Wow. Isn't that like all QAnon related, though? I just fell down a QAnon hole and I had to stop myself because it's a very dark place and a dark spiral.
Well, and I also find myself, you know, getting ammunition and loading up the car to go look for some children in the basement of an arcade.
Right.
You know, right? You got to know when to say when. When you're putting a missile launcher into your Subaru, it's time to chill with the QAnon.
Right. I just have a big laser that I got from a friend to start wildfires, you know.
Was she Jewish?
But I had to. Yeah, it goes into space. Yeah, it's too much to handle.
God.
It's
Lord.
Like, I understand that, like, the what's happening in the world right now, like, there's so much trauma that it, like, leads your brain to, like, invent, like, different outlandish scenarios to cope.
Yes.
But this is insane.
Yeah.
Like, is that the coping mechanism now? That like... you can't handle a pandemic and everything that's happened, so you have to like blame Jewish space lasers? Like, is that the norm?
Reptilians. Have you discovered the reptilians?
Oh, yes.
That is another very dark and dirty Twitter hole to fall down. All right.
Yeah.
Just gird your loins if you're going to do it.
Gird your loins. What a great
in the dirty
use.
Twitter hole.
Conspiracy. Well, you guys, I'm ready to gird my loins and get into this episode today. Look at him just serving up transition fodder. I love it. We're just have to do a little dirty work real quick, Michael. So pre-shift meeting, guys, real quick. Just want to say there's a contest still going strong right now to rate, review, and subscribe. I know you're out there doing it, but there's already a hot contender for fourth place, which, as you know, is not any of our actual merch, but a fart in a jar.
Yes, yes. One fart. We haven't decided who will fart in said jar yet.
We didn't know you wanted that. If we...
Yeah, but do remember, first place is a lovely 86th t-shirt, and then second and third are both posters, and then yes, fourth place will be the fart in the jar. Please get out there, subscribe, rate, review, write a review. This is how you enter the contest. We just want you to get out there and like give us a bunch of fun new reviews, because that boosts us, and we want to incentivize you guys
exactly.
For doing that.
So just make us chuckle with a great review. It's been a delight. And then join our Patreon. We're gonna post new content up there like usual every week or two. We're getting something on there, and I want to welcome Kimberly Batone or Batone, either way. Hey girl, hey, thanks for joining. We see
welcome.
You we appreciate you. Okay, so Michael, last week in our episode we had some chit chat that we kind of heard through our server submitted stories that we get from around the country. And someone was talking about their bar, which I found out was located in West Virginia, but I won't give any other details because I'm not supposed to name them or the place. But the place had a power hour. Are you familiar with power hours?
Yeah, you just drink as much as you can for an hour, no?
Yep.
Yeah, and it's at a discount.
I knew that. I've just never done that. So we did have some response to that topic, and also, you know, if this is getting TMI too fast, we're uncovering a phenomenon that happens globally, but definitely here in the United States, that when you go to shop at a Target, something overtakes your bowels and you immediately have to go blow up the Target bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Like you hit that like one section in the back that all of a sudden you're like, why do I all of a sudden have to poop? Oh, my God. Yep.
So it's a phenomenon. And let's I've got a little bit of feedback on that. Andrea, did you want to read the feedback for this?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I will. All right. Here we go. So power hour is generally done with beer. I once participated on a trip to Canada when I was 22, but with Goldschlager. No. Oh, God. The results were unfortunate. Yeah, I bet. Also, I have bathroom issues. I can't poop on the weekends. And no one knows I shop at Target on Sundays, not because I enjoy throwing away $100 every weekend, but it's the only place that my bowels feel at ease. Maybe it's something in the air. Who knows? Thanks for keeping me cackling on a weekly basis. Never been in the service industry, but I've been more than generous with all my service after listening to you ladies. Thanks again. That
thoughts, concerns, like that's amazing.
Do you think a doctor prescribed that therapy?
I mean,
you know, yeah.
I just, how is power hour related to pooping? Can we start there?
Okay. Well, it's not. She was touching on two topics from last week's episode because we were professing to not really know what a power hour was. So she schooled us, but then also added the caveat that she did it with Goldschlager, which is like, oh, that's
what you do when you're 15 and then you shit your brains out.
Yeah. Ooh. Right. Everything, all that tissue's young and fresh. You just, you know, you know. But yes, those are just two main topics of last week's episode. But yes, and then moving on to the Target phenomenon, that is incredible to be like the only thing that releases me is the bullet and the redness, and who knows subliminally what else is happening at a Target.
And we've had some theories. I like what Andrea sort of said is like the overstimulation and the excitement about so many consumer products available at once, that your body gets overstimulated and then you have to run to the bathroom. Also, I feel like even if some of these Targets do not have the glorious in-house Starbucks in it, they must be wafting coffee scent through the air at all times, which causes you to immediately have to run and go shit your brains out.
Wait, Michael, you had the butt doctor on your episode that I was listening to, and he was saying that stimulation, something like coffee, triggers your stomach to empty itself, and that's got to be the same thing, right?
I mean, I don't think he was talking olfaction sensories, right? He was talking like ingestion, but I mean, I have it on firsthand account here that there used to be a place in Princeton, New Jersey. I think it's still there, the Princeton Record Exchange. And everybody, once you hit the back section with all the old records and CDs, you immediately had to leave to go to the coffee shop to poop. So I'm wondering if there is an olfactory, and I should reach out to Dr. Carlton, the butt doctor, and ask him if there's like, why can't I speak? An olfaction, like sense memory thing that triggers you to poop.
It could also be that like once you've like reached your capacity of like however many things you can rifle through, your brain can see you feel overloaded, there's too much stuff, and then you have to like exit, like also right, especially at a record store, if you're like, I've gone through all the things and then I finally make my way to the back, it's like you've already seen and consumed so much. Museums can kind of do this to me too. Not like Target, but I mean, if I don't know. We'll move on.
I want to look at the latitude and longitudinal coordinates of where this store is, and maybe it's an energy vortex.
Oh my. It's totally true. Just everybody know that we'll have the finest scientists on the case.
Yes, we definitely know them. Just a phone call away.
and a board certified doctor.
Well, we can move into some headlines, everybody. This is pretty awesome. And, you know, since I was doing some research and saw a lot of Michigan fodder, our headlines are a little Michigan heavy. That's where I'm from, by the way. if you guys didn't know that, the Detroit suburbs. I'm from Rochester, Michigan. Shout out, everybody. But here's some great news. We saw this on DetroitEater.com. This is so awesome. Basically, essential workers, which right now we consider our grocery store workers and our restaurant staffs, they're going to get vaccinated in Detroit because they are not offering that out here in California at the moment. It's not a local decision that they are offering. And what we're seeing is a ton of pushback because servers are like, how dare you consider us essential? Like, and you're putting us in a category with healthcare workers. And we actually are some of the few people who get exposed to customers who don't have to wear a face covering for a certain portion of the exchange. And like, but we're not eligible for a vaccine. Like we're not, they're saying we're not essential. You view us as expendable because it's like, let's not, you know, we've been really just fired up about this. It's not that it's like, no, it's about getting them back to work and not keeping them safe. It's people want to go out to eat. It's more that we're catering to the people who want to go have their service, but don't care about the safety of the people who make it happen. So I am like so fired up and excited that Detroit service industry people are going to get their shots. So that say was, yes.
I think
that was big news here in New York this morning, too. They're starting to do that. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And actually, Brooke, I think Long Beach is doing
Long Beach
in California.
Of all places.
They're pretty cool. I mean, I don't know. That's what I read originally. And I think it's just going to be start happening, I think, in bigger cities. I think people once there's more supply and things get recalibrated a bit, I certainly hope that we would start seeing it in Los Angeles and bigger cities.
Is the real issue here classism, right? Is that the word?
Yes.
You know, in the sense of a lot of these people, not all of these people that are working in restaurants are, you know, people of color, tons of actors, gig workers. This is a transitional job here for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So it's the others, right? Not the people who are working for the banks or.
And also not to mention, and I am coming to you live from Omaha, Nebraska this week because I had to come home for a family emergency. But like the governor who we talk shit about a lot on this podcast because he sucks, Pete Ricketts is his name. He has implemented has made a statement that says that undocumented workers will not be receiving vaccines because he's a monster person.
Sounds like it.
It makes zero sense to me. Like, how is this to make that like everybody should just get one and it'll happen. You know, like he also was like, no mask mandate in Omaha. And like the government went above his head. But like there's so many meat packing plants. There's so many people that work in restaurants. There's so many jobs that undocumented workers do in Nebraska. And the sheer fucking balls on this guy to pull that. You know, it makes zero sense to me.
So who does he expect to do the work when those people, God forbid, get sick, you know?
Right.
Well, right. Honestly. And what you said was, you know, that this is a classist issue because we provide a service that makes people with the money more comfortable, you know. So, yes, it's the way the exchange is that it's like, well, we want people to be able to have their manicures and pedicures. But if that, you know, if that Latina, or like Asian woman is not documented, well, fuck her. No vaccination. And also she's probably not been receiving any sort of, you know, employment assistance while their, you know, stores have been shut.
It is.
I mean, these are also the people that are terrified to go get vaccines for fear of getting taken away or even get tested for fear of getting taken away by ICE, you know, or the police.
Why would they trust a government that has never given them anything before to vaccinate them properly?
Nope, you're not going to. So obviously this is like a whole can of worms and we've got other shows to go down, but
I love that you had the headline on like the beginning of the Detroit news, like as great news, and like this is where we were just like, let's slash that all away and get to the shitty part of it. Like,
I know. But,
okay. Well, we like mucking in the shit today, apparently, because we've been talking about shit since the beginning.
It's true.
We've been
full circle, ladies. Full
we've
circle.
Been on a streak. Hello. I'm sorry. Well, okay, but the good news is, if you are currently working in a state a restaurant service industry job, there's a good chance the vaccine will be made available to you. And, you know, we believe in science over here. And so we are always willing to, you know, point you toward good information and help encourage you to help encourage others to do it. We got this. So, yeah, if it's offered to you, get excited and take it. So, yeah. Anyways, but I mean, Michael, what we've been seeing like crazy, too, is, you know, restaurants pushing back and refusing to show up to their jobs and striking and basically starting to gather to unionize our, you know, our line of work, which I think is what the future holds.
Well, maybe and maybe not, because I don't know how much you know about the Stardust Diner here in New York. The Stardust Diner here in the city is where all the musical theater actors, or a lot of them, you know, they sing for while you dine, you know, as they serve you, they're belting their faces off.
Yes.
And many, many times, it's, you just Google it, it's there. They've tried to unionize and the Stardust owners just fire them all before they can organize. And then they'll protest for a little while outside and then it all just goes away.
Right. I think the difference is the pandemic has forced servers and service industries' hands, where if you see it happening everywhere and we all, you know, decide that, hey, listen, there's more of us than there are of you. And we rise up and do an insurrection that just involves you not getting your eggs.
In your section. We're going to do an in your section.
In your section insurrection. That kind of sounds dirty.
I know. I think it sounds like a song from like Grease, the musical Grease.
Yeah.
Like Grease 2, actually, which was just a movie.
But there are examples of people, you know, everyone in the service industry in the state of Nevada is unionized and everyone's protected whether or not they want to join the union, because that's how strong and effective it's been for that last however decade or more. But that is a fantastic example to look to for the future of this industry. So we're going to keep talking and teaching on that on this podcast as we learn more and can highlight more stories. But this was a story that made me feel kind of sad, you guys. I know, I was like, good news, more bad news. Independent bowling alleys are all potentially not going to make it, which is like, I don't know how y'all.
Heartbreaking.
It's like, oh boy.
I think Brooke and I spent like the whole, like most of our 20s in Chicago that we had together in divey bowling alleys. So this really hits.
But after
home
this
for
whole
us,
pandemic thing, do you really want to be wearing other people's shoes?
Well, they spray the stuff,
right?
Yeah, the stuff. You don't even know what the stuff is. It could just be Febreze.
And the disinfectant. Well, I mean, I'm sure that there'll be new stuff. It's really, for me, it's not so much about like wearing the shoes, because I don't know. I'm not going to like put my feet in my mouth afterwards. I think they'll be disinfected. But like, I think it's, and what this article talks about is that like a divey old bowling alley, a teeny tiny one, is they've already had to revitalize themselves in many ways. Like, I mean, there's obviously the pro bowling alleys, which have their own side of things happening. But like, you know, they had to make a push at one point to be like, we have to install like fancy food and a bar and really gear toward like foodies or hipsters or like a younger generation that will come in and revitalize our business. So a lot of them have already been like, cool, we made it once, and now this pandemic is making it even more awful.
I know. And this suddenly turns into, you know, like you'll see me out like trying to gather money for a GoFundMe to save, you know, all the local like the Pickwick out here in Los Angeles.
Oh God.
Like, and is it just faves. Makes me so sad, because as we're watching also independent restaurants struggle, places like, you know, have you ever been to Cafe 101, if you've ever visited out here, Michael?
No, I haven't made it to L.A. proper. I've made it to all over California, just not L.A., oddly enough.
That is odd. We'll have to make that happen once it's safer to get out and about. But, you know, it's just like, I'm trying to think of what would be like the, I know the TikTok diner on 34th and 8th Avenue is a garbage dump, but a lot of people do meet there.
Yeah, they have a good patty melt. Don't knock the TikTok.
Okay, I won't knock the TikTok. So I'm just trying to place it as something comparable where everyone knows it. And this place was called Cafe 101. And like everybody in LA who's lived here for 10 years at the very least is like, that's it was after a night of revelry. We go and we sober up because they're a 24-hour diner. It's people's favorite meeting place where they're like, we launched the idea for our show there, and then would have meetings once we sold it. It's like a great first date spot. And they're not going to make it, you know? And it's just, it's the places that we all consider to be so incredibly special. It's like, and then you add on to it like, oh my God, bowling alleys. It's one of my favorite ways to hang out with friends or to get family together where everyone can do something. And, you know, like where you've got the grumpy uncle who doesn't bowl, but he'll sit there and drink, you know? And like, there's entertainment for everybody. And I didn't even stop to consider how at risk, you know?
It's sad. It's sad all around. So many of the my favorite New York places just gone. Gay bars gone.
Yes.
I mean, how is anybody supposed to survive with this happening and with no help? And I feel like this would be a 4-hour podcast if we just keep going down this route. I'm most concerned with now that I'm thinking about going back to a bowling alley, because I really do love bowling alley. Who's disinfecting the holes?
The holes, I know. Or
the dirty Twitter holes.
The dirty Twitter holes.
It's true.
I see it this way, where you just like dunk your hands in, like, there's just like a bucket of open hand sanitizer, Sandy, you know, and then boom, hand into the ball. And that's just the rule. While you're bowling with that ball, you have to have sanitized hands.
Wait,
I don't know.
A bucket of open sanitizer. Then I picture it like you making stock and you have to like skim the scum off the top.
I mean, you could also just pump the sanitizer and the same thing would happen. I'm not.
Oh, God.
Brooke's like, nope. I want buckets.
All right.
Leave it to me to take us down to a whole disinfection conversation.
It's okay. We cover it all on this podcast ad nauseum. Well, we're going to move into another portion of the show called Server
Submitted
Stories with a bakery theme. These are some great stories this week, Michael. I'm very excited to share this. Thank you, as always, everyone who writes in. It was really cool that I got two back-to-back from some listeners who both happen to have more the bakery side experience of service industry, which we've been asked if we would do an episode more tailored to that. And
yeah,
100%. I've had a job like that too, so I could dig deep. And we can, Andrew, you have too, right?
I worked at a bakery in when I was like 19. You're in
Omaha.
Yeah.
And it has its own set of frustrations, as we will soon find out. The subject of this server submitted story is a bakery story. Cookie desecration, and some red hot primal rage. Okay. Hi, ladies. I've been listening for a while since we entered this incredibly boring dystopian hellscape, and I so appreciate the stories. On a gap year from college, I decided to get some good old-fashioned real-world experience by working in a local bakery that I had frequented in high school. This place is beloved by most anyone who goes there. The coffee's good and the baked goods are some of the best around. So naturally, it was a fucking nightmare to work at. Aside from the utter lack of parking and 6-hour long weekend rushes, the owners were tactless, domineering micromanagers. Why is it always the best places that are run by the worst people? It's because they do good business. And when you do good business, you don't have to be a nice person sometimes. Although I disagree, but it's something we accept. Okay. I have many, many stories from my short time working there, but to avoid sending you a manuscript, I'll start with the most blood-boiling encounter I had. I could not stop laughing when I read this. Okay. Like all locally beloved establishments, we had our share of annoying regulars. One was an older woman named Jane. Jane was about 4'8", with big glasses, mousy hair, and the decorum of a poisonous toad. Whenever she came in, it was customary to ignore her for as long as humanly possible or quickly find something else to do. Unfortunately, the newer people were usually not briefed about Jane until after they had encountered her for the first time. And anyone who knew who she was would automatically abandon the counter or busy themselves upon seeing her enter, purposely leaving their poor, naive shadow to take her order. This was admittedly cruel, but when it came to Jane, self-preservation was of the utmost importance. Sorry. On this slow, sunny afternoon, I was already alone at the counter, so there was no eligible sacrifice when Jane came scuttling into the store. I took the deepest breath I could muster and watched her approach the counter. I didn't bother greeting her verbally since she ignored me every time. One of Jane's many charms was her custom of asking what at least five items were before deciding what she wanted. She did this, and after asking what the banana bread was three times in a row, she said, "I'll take a chocolate chip cookie with the least amount of chocolate chips." After processing the insanity of her request, I popped on a pair of gloves and began shifting through the stack of cookies. Eventually, I found one that looked pretty naked and handed it to her in a wax sheet, no bag. This is where things went from bad to worse. Jane immediately broke the cookie in half and jammed one half into her froggy mouth. While she open-mouthed chewed, she began dissecting the other half of the cookie, excavating every single chocolate chip. "No, no, no, there's too many chips in here," she moaned, spraying crumbs across the clean counter. Have you ever felt your actual bones get hot with rage before? That's what started to happen to me. "It's a chocolate chip cookie," I retorted, unable to control myself. "Well, I'll just exchange it for something else then." "Oh, hell no. You can talk to my manager about that," I replied in a near manic voice. And with that, I made my way to the opposite counter where my manager had been watching with a mixture of exasperation and horror. "She just annihilated that cookie and wants to know if she can exchange it for something else," I told her, my voice quivering. My manager gave me a look that was almost exclusively reserved for Jane's situations and told me she'd handled it. I followed her back to the counter and immediately grabbed the largest size black cold brew we had to calm my nerves. My manager told, I know, I was like, okay, if cold brew is calming your nerves, you are up here.
A bakery worker. Yeah.
I know, right? My manager told her she was under no circumstances letting her exchange a half-eaten, half-defiled cookie for a new item, and she would have to pay for both. "Well, a discount then," Jane ventured. "No, Jane, you pay for both." My unflappable manager, who had worked at the bakery for like 7 years at that point, had the same quiver of rage in her voice as me. I wiped the same spot over and over until Jane left. And when my manager turned to face me, she thrust her hand forward at me and exclaimed, "Look at my hand. I'm fucking shaking." It's probably the cold brew, everybody. If there's anything I can say about service jobs, it certainly teaches you how to deal with the Janes of the world. I have many more bakery stories I'd be happy to share. I met some of my best friends and my wonderful boyfriend at that job, and I genuinely wish I could have stayed there without losing my sanity. I returned to college instead, having decided the real world could wait a little longer. Godspeed and good tips, Maddie. Pronounce Maddie, not Mad-Eye, like the wizard from Harry Potter.
Ah, yeah, Moody.
Oh, my.
I love the way you read stories. I want you to do like children's story hour next.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, unfortunately, no one writes anything age appropriate on this podcast. But yes, one day if I have children or someone lets me around theirs, I'll read a story to them.
I think we've all had our feels with Jane customers. Brooke, I certainly know you have told several stories about when you worked at the vegan restaurant in on the Upper East Side.
I mean, this is when, and this is one of the joys of the job, as you know, Michael, is like the only way to survive is by labeling people sort of like what they are so that you can have shorthand speak across the restaurant without giving yourself away, you know, because it'd be like covert, you know, code names for people, where there was this customer at the vegan restaurant. I just hated her so much. And she had this like, she was really old and her hair looked like a wisp of like white cotton candy, like a twirl of soft serve that went straight up off of her head. So I was like, soft serve, you know, you'd be like, 10-4 soft serve. And everyone be like, oh God, she's here. And yeah, there was a guy named Keith. And again, here's the thing. We also realize as we get older and learn more about people's behavior, and not everyone is like us, that a lot of these people have some sort of disability, or they might be on the spectrum in some way, and they're just trying to make their way through the world, and we just think they're annoying and don't realize that like every day is a struggle for them, you know. And then there are some people who are just plain assholes, you know.
I used to work for a very, very fancy hotel that shall not be named here in the city, and so there were regulars, but then there was there was always a never ending cycle of terrible people that came through.
Like, yes.
Like the woman who asked me if the red wine was hot. And I was like,
what?
It's red wine. You're and like, by then I was so over this job too, that like, I just wasn't nice. And so I had to end up quitting because I found myself not being nice to people.
No, you can only hear so many things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Know, where you're like, are you thinking of mold wine? Yeah, and is it December?
I know. It's I'm like, not. She's like, I read about it in a magazine. And now like, I'm in New York. Give me the hot classic hot wine New York City experience.
New York style hot wine.
Well, I was like, it's red wine. I mean, one of my friends was like, Michael, because everyone was embarrassed because I just poured it for her and I pushed it at her and I just looked at her crazy. And I was like, this is what you're getting.
That's a true New York experience that she got right there.
But oh, yeah. That was authentic.
Oh, my God. So many experiences. Or there was always that one person who wanted the one thing they couldn't have.
Oh, of course. Right. And that is their goddamn, their life becomes the white whale. And it's like, can you just fucking check in the reality? You know, because
you know, your life would $50,000 for this party. Why do you want that one thing that isn't here when there's everything else?
Everything. I know. That is like a personality trait and disorder that is such like a half glass empty type of human and miserable. I could just hear about the Janes. Yeah, guys, write in and tell us about the Janes in your life.
Bam, I'm a supervisor to the customer service desk.
Let's move on to the next story. Here we go. Hey, guys, I'm in the process of reopening my location for service, and I just wanted to say a big old thank you for keeping me entertained while I scrub everything floor to ceiling after being closed for 7 months. She said it's gross is what they say. Well, I'm up to my elbows in sandy buckets and green Brillo pads. I've been thinking about the things that make me love my job and keep my spirits up. There's one story that keeps popping into my mind. I was fresh out of undergrad and working in a small custom bakery. It was a cutesy place with a prominent local reputation, as the bakery had won the cupcake wars. And cute. Part of the uniform was a peppy, upbeat attitude with guests no matter what the situation. One day, an older woman came into the shop looking to order a cake. I put on my cheery face and asked her all the questions I needed, the answers to. It was a simple order, a 6-inch strawberry shortcake. She mentioned it was her husband's favorite, with whipped cream frosting, a shell border top and a bottom and strawberries on top. Without looking up from the order sheet, I said her husband has good taste in cake and asked what she wanted to have written on top. She didn't answer. When I looked at her, this woman was in tears, like silently bawling her eyes out. I immediately froze, wondering what I had done to prompt this. She cried for a minute before collecting herself enough to tell me that she wanted "Happy Birthday, Dad" written on top in chocolate ganache. She then proceeded to tell me that her husband had passed earlier that year and that she was getting together with her kids to throw a birthday party for him. Now, I'm not an emotional person. I'm not an emotional person, but that story had me misting up something fierce. I'm tearing up now even thinking about it. She said again that the strawberry shortcake was his favorite and that he loved our cakes. Holding onto my composure with both hands, I completed her order, gave her my sincerest condolences, and then hid in the bathroom to weep for a few minutes. 3 days later, she came to pick up her cake and started crying all over again when we opened the box for her approval. She said it was perfect, thanked us up and down for helping her through this time and for making her ordering experience so pleasant. Everyone in that shop was besides themselves for the rest of the day. And now 5 years later, when my customers are rude or condescending, when they're being difficult, when they have to scrub out a walk-in cooler, or when I have to scrub out a walk-in cooler by myself from top to bottom, I remember why I do what I do. I work in this industry because I have the power to make people's lives better every day. And when I'm successful, there's no better feeling in the world. Godspeed and good health, ladies. We make a difference. Andrea. It was my name.
I know.
Yeah. So I, and we'll, you know, I don't know what Brian's going to edit out, but I will tell you guys the reason I'm in Omaha is because my mom's partner passed last week. And this story, Andrea, is gorgeous. So I'm feeling feelings. You guys should all know. Yeah. And I think we all do make a difference. Yeah. Like,
we do make a big difference. And just for everyone listening out there, I warned Andrea in advance this wasn't a stunt.
I thought I was prepared. The story's so good. I couldn't.
It's a beautiful story. And I just love the crossover and the emotion and everything we're all going through right now. And you specifically in this time and place, I felt like that was a kindred spirit sort of story for you to carry.
I'm going to add a little note on that. Like, so Dan, who is my mom's partner's name, he, greatest guy. You know stories, Brooke, a crazy stories. Yeah. But I will say in his retirement, like, started smoking meat. And so we in the deep freeze, there was probably a $300 Wagyu Nebraska beef rib roast that we roasted in his honor the other night. And it was perfect. So yeah, I will say that. For
I love it. Foodies, the Wallace family, just foodies to the end. I mean, that's how you guys, that's how the Wallaces honor people. We're like, we smoked some meat in your honor, Dan.
I love that. Listen, I talk about this all the time on my podcast, and I'm sure you ladies do as well, about how, like, every moment is centered around food. Like,
yes,
everything. Like, yeah. we can basically apply any real moment to food. And one thing a former guest of mine said, shout out to you, Dan Pelosi. You may have come across Grossy Pelosi on the internet. he came on and in Italian, his uncle said, no one dies at the dinner table. Right. And I've had a bunch of responses on how that was interpreted through guests. Mm-hmm. And it was, it, whether it's through recipes, right, carrying them along through smoked meat, you know, or even like through stories, right? If food wasn't part of their legacy, you know, around the dinner table, these people will always live forever.
Absolutely.
It's a sentiment. It was not my sentiment, but I carry it. I carry it from him and I give credit to him because I love it. I just really, really love that. Like,
I mean, I love it so much. I would maybe put that on like that saying and hang it up in my house. Like, I mean, yeah. That's how much I like that. And
you're clear. It's nicer when he said it in Italian. Yeah. I'll send it to you in Italian.
Yes.
Please.
Yes. Let's class it up. You guys, ooh. I'm going to do some beautiful font and get it stenciled on my dining room wall.
I love it.
Where it says, live, laugh, love.
No, you needed a needle point, I think.
Totally. I'm just going to write it in marinara sauce. Oh, boy. Well, you guys, as always, thank you so much for sending these beautiful server submitted stories our way, bakery stories, whatever stories you might have from whatever service line of work you ever had. If you think of one, please send them to sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Michael, that was like a really beautiful transition into, you know, telling our listeners more about you and your vibe on your podcast, In Your Mouth Pod. So you really, because it's been fun getting to know you and discuss this with you. I feel like you said something that one of your listeners told you, which I feel like is just so captivating and explains what you do. But that your listeners, when, you know, hearing your podcast and the way you talk about queer identity, culture, history through the lens of food, that listeners have said, like, you are a custodian of these stories that really are universal and shared. And so I'm so excited to turn our listeners on to your pod.
Yeah, I'm really excited, too. And I can't thank you enough for having me on here because it's really interesting just, you know, having heard your podcast before, but now being here in person with you via Zoom, obviously, safely, that my podcast, we talk about food all the time. And I never considered myself a custodian of anything but my bathroom. Janitorial services, I clean a good toilet. But it's we just started I just started asking them very informally about how they started cooking, right? What that memory was like when their mom was cooking. Oh, you were talking about your mom. What was coming out like? And all of a sudden, we went from baking cakes to growing up in foster care and getting kicked out of the house, or stirring a pot and, you know, stirring some sauce and, you know, using it as a place of Zen and gratitude. And then, you know, how you came out to your family this way, right? And they accepted you and loved you via that. And like, so it's these stories through a food lens that really have like kind of propelled In Yo Mouth forward. And I never set out to be a custodian until of LGBTQ stories and this specific moment or way, I should say. But when someone said that to me, I was like, oh yeah, I guess. Yeah. And I accept. You know,
I charge forward
because I just set out to have a laugh or two with some really fun gay people in the biz, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And now you're,
it's great.
Now you got a big old keychain on your belt.
Yep.
Yeah. Jingle jangle. We're gonna get
maybe
you.
That's my new merch item. I'm just
selling random keys.
Just big random.
Absolutely.
I feel really important the more keys I have on my clip, you know, and then I wear it on my belt loop just so people know I've got access to a lot of doors.
That's right. That's right. There's a great Golden Girls episode where Blanche thinks someone, one of her lovers passed away, the Zipper King, and she pulls out the keys to go and she has like this massive key ring. Right.
Men,
and they're all labeled.
That is men when they have the overstuffed wallets and then the gigantic key rings, and you're like, that's, they don't have purses. What are they supposed to do?
I mean, not that you can't have a purse. Oh.
Love a good handbag all around. You guys, so clearly you can break off from our podcast after you're done with this episode and go check him out and have some good laughs, learn some great stuff, connect, feel seen, just get sentimental about food. So please definitely go check out In Yo Mouth. But today on this podcast, it's all coming together so thematically. We want to talk about the concept of when you are working in a restaurant and your friends and family come to visit.
I know. That's how I feel too. I mean, and I think, you know, we have written here too. It's like, you know, everybody wants to eat some good food and grub and like also get that royal treatment while they're doing it, right? But like you can't give away all the food.
Like if you don't own the place, it starts to get tricky. Yeah.
I hate being on both sides of it though.
Yes.
Like both sides. True. Yeah. It's always awkward.
Well, I think that's kind of a great place to start. So yeah, like what we were saying, like friends and family who frequent your place of employment, you know, it can have some benefits, but then it's also one of the downfalls of the job big time. So yeah, when we're on the receiving end of this transaction, you know, as we all know, so servers are not, when we're being just pedestrian customers and we know someone who works at a great bar or a restaurant, we got to establish some rules. And if some of you aren't aware of some of the unspoken rules, like let's start there. Okay. First of all, you can't walk in like you own the place, especially if you don't. I think being low-key and courteous is king in this situation, no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's different rules depending on where you're going to be. And like, I really think that like being a like server and then being a bartender, especially if you're like at just a bar, probably need to be separated in some ways, because like that's the thing about a bartender is like you create a following for yourself and that includes your friends. Yeah.
Right. I think that's one of those situations where, right, you've got your Tuesday night, which is not a great night at the bar. So they are like, yes, cultivate your friends and your following so that we're making, you know, I think bars are really different in the sense that you can slip someone a small, you know, free can of beer or a shot and you're still making your bar ring. But that is how you do business at a bar. You give some and then you get a lot back.
Yep.
Yeah. Can we call this section lead with grace and gratitude?
Oh, like,
yes.
You know, like as long as you walk in with a little grace and a whole lot of gratitude, right? And, you know, and not expect anything.
Yes.
I think you win. Everybody wins.
I agree.
We were saying too that sometimes, you know, when you're a regular or a friend, this is kind of what happens, you know, in your family too, is like you kind of get ignored because they're going to take care of the real customers who have a different expectation of you, where you're like, hey, I have to make sure that this transaction with these people I don't know is like tip top because I'm representing my place of employment. So you're just going to sit there and wait for a little bit. But when I get to you, don't worry, I'm going to get to you.
It's true. Yeah.
And to just sit there and know that your drink is maybe not going to get refreshed in the timeliest fashion, but the next one's probably going to be free.
Yeah. And we talked about this last week when it comes to like being a bar regular. It's kind of the same deal. Like sometimes you have to wait, but you're going to get treated like gold. Yeah.
Right. But I think in a restaurant situation too, it's like, it's not one of my favorite things to do. I think, you know, as much as my friends in the past have been like, yeah, come on, I'm doing lunch this day. You know, you can sit in my section, so on and so forth. It always ends up being a kind of weird scenario because your friend is working. They're fucking working and they're going to do their best to check in on you, try and make it feel special or whatever. But if you go see them at a lunch rush, you better manage your expectations, you dummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. Absolutely. Like, I mean, when we used to work at Bad Dog, like back in the day, Brooke, like because you would have the whole section so people could like belly up to the bar that were your friends and sit there, and then you would chat with them when you had to make drinks. But like, that's the deal. Like, you get me for like a few minutes at a time. But if I'm busy, like that's all you get, which I think is totally fine. But like, and that's friends. But when we're going to introduce family members into it, that's like a whole different ball of wax. Like,
especially mothers.
Oh, God.
Mothers.
Because I love my mother to death. And my mother loves me and we are very close.
Yeah.
But my mother is needy boots.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't care if I'm working at fine dining or a dive bar. When she calls, I must come.
Oh, no.
How
Michael.
Is she like when you got to eat together with like servers? Is she on her best behavior? Do you make sure she's on her best behavior?
For sure. Sometimes I'm like, sometimes we bicker, but I'm like, nope, you can't do that. Right? Or I'll throw in an extra thank you, you know?
Oh, when you're on the way out, when you say thank you 10 million times and then like usher your parent out the door and go back and put another 20 in there.
Oh my God, for sure. But this is a really good thing to bring up too, that like them coming in, we've all had to deal with this and we've all had to quit on our fucking moms for sure. But we school them enough that then they go hopefully pay it forward, right? And like now they know the rules and we release them into the wild to go be good tippers and not give any sass to their servers when we're not around.
Order mayonnaise at a very small Italian restaurant because they probably don't have effing mayonnaise, mom.
They do not have it.
And then, and then get mad about it.
Just be like, I'll give you some Alfredo sauce. Will Alfredo sauce work?
I would take it. Some fresh ricotta. Right. And I think specifically what I'm trying to crystallize in, because this applies to like the feeling straddles the line of going out to eat with your parents, but we're specifically also talking about when they drop in your place of employment, you know, which is one of the benefits. I mean, when restaurants or bars have soft openings, it's friends and family night. It's expected that you as the staff, if you've got some local family who's interested in what you do for a living and who doesn't like to go out to eat, they're going to pop in at some point here and there. So I think it's something that we as servers have all had to learn how to do this dance so as to not piss off our manager, the owner, or the kitchen, especially if we are holding an expectation as a server that our families are A, going to get anything free or right. anything special. I think you really have to know your place of employment and do a little groundwork. Just so you can set the expectation up for your parents so they don't act a fool.
Totally.
And then so you don't get in trouble. It's like the ultimate, like you are just this person who's caught in between like your work mommy and your real mommy.
Oh, I know, right? It's so true. Well, first and foremost, like any place that you work, right, there should be an established discount if friends or family come in. That if that's extended to everyone, then great. Like, great on you. Is it limited in how many you can do a month? Probably. But like, I would never in my life had like so many people come in that I'd be like, can everybody in my section get my friends and family discount? That's like never happened.
No, you're an idiot if you do that.
But I think if you're on good terms, I feel like sometimes if people know your family's coming in, especially if they're from out of town, and like that it's an occasion, and that everybody you work with, including like the bar staff, to the wait staff, to the kitchen staff, like they make it an event for your family. That's when you know you work at a super fun place.
Yeah. Or even how about the stranger of it all? This is like the stranger guest that you really fall in love with, that you want to just give the hookup to, you know, because they've been really, really awesome. Like, and just because you want to send out dessert, or you want to send out an extra app, or you want to, you know, comp around to drinks.
Exactly. Totally. And I think most places of employment that understand how business works, there is usually a little set of allowances, you know, because not only do we make extra food by accident, sometimes the kitchen will, you know, something got rung in twice and now there's an extra. Like, if you're smart and know how to manage and own a restaurant, you know that there's going to be a plus or minus every shift. And so, like, yeah, when someone's a fantastic customer, it should be no big deal to give them a free dessert or a complimentary glass of wine. Like, that's a fantastic way to be. So, again, I would hope to God where you work that people would be excited, that you feel good enough about your job, that you invited your family, you know, because for me and Andrea as well, it's like, you know, our family stayed behind in the Midwest, and it's like I lived in New York City for 10 years. So it's not like my parents are walking down the street every Monday to come harass me.
Right.
It was like they're on a vacation and they could go anywhere in New York City. And I told them that my restaurant is great. And I think in those situations, that's when I have a good relationship with our head chef, you know, and when I'm like, hey, my family is table 13 or what have you, then the amuse-bouche starts coming out. Like the preparation has an extra sparkle to it. Not that it was...
I do think it's so funny, too, to be like, oh, of course, like my parents are visiting from out of town and I still have to work a Saturday night restaurant shift because I have to make money when they're in town.
Yeah. And then subject them to me being a stressed out monster running around this place.
Like a chicken
with no head cut off.
Yeah. Have them come in later so you can leave with them, or have them come in early and then you can like send them somewhere else to go have fun and like meet you later at a bar. You know,
I think that's a hot tip right there, because yeah, it's I get it, you know. We always don't think these things through. If your parents are already visiting, you know, you've been running around like a chicken with your head cut off, just trying to keep them alive in the streets of New York.
Yeah, you're like, but, can I just be in the weeds at work and not with my parents? Thank you very much. I'd much rather do that.
You know, but yeah, I think this can be a really fun thing and very beneficial to someone you really care about who's coming in, you know, if best friends visiting from out of town. I think friends do fall down in the ranking system. Absolutely. Yeah. Family is up here when they come to see you. And yeah, I always felt like it was communication, letting my, you know, my boss know in advance, like, hey, like my folks are in town and I'm making a reservation for them this night, and then everyone knows your folks are coming. You can do the warm welcome. It's not a surprise where suddenly you're like, hey, that's my mom and dad. What do you want to do about it? Because that puts we all know managers, you have to do a dance around them. Are they in a good mood tonight? Are they in a giving, gratitude filled mood, or are they in a mood, you know?
Or are they in a K-hole? Because yep.
Exactly.
That's a very real thing as well.
But some of the things I've experienced, Jesus.
Yep, exactly. you know, and so, right, this can be, it can be tricky, like, because, you know, like the weirdest thing can set someone off and then they're on the warpath against you. And now your parents are here and your manager's mad at you. And then next thing you know, like you just fucking bought their dinner for them because you don't even want to ask your manager for something. Like that is the situation that I think we have unfortunately found ourselves in when you expect too much or thought that there was going to be a big comp on the ticket, and you know, your parents literally think it's free dinner, and then you're like, oh God, no. And then you're like, cool, I'm gonna spend my tips for the night on my parents' dinner that I just had to buy for them. Fuck. Yeah.
I have never worked at a place like this, but I'm sure it happens, and I'm sure that there have been kerfuffles, and sure, but like, I very much am like, this is an event, everybody get on board, my parents are here, you know, but that's how I feel about it for sure.
Yeah, I think what's, I mean, speaking, and it'd be interesting, obviously, listeners, tell us how it is with your place of employment. Tell us, you know, kind of how it's gone down when your parents or an aunt and uncle visiting, or, you know, family comes in. I feel like it's really reasonable to expect an appetizer they didn't ask for is mm-hmm. going to come out with their starters. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe a little taste of something, maybe an extra big helping of French fries on the plate, you know, and perhaps a free tasty little dessert. Is there a discount at the end? Maybe not. Or maybe just one thing is comped. That is more than fine. You know, it is, that is a really, really fun night out. And also sometimes we have parents and people who come in who are like weird and are like, I don't want anything free. I have a black Amex, you know, and they're like fucking big spender dad.
Totally insisting on paying for everything. Or with my parents, I'll be like, don't tip me. And they'll leave me like 100, you know, or like whatever. They over tip you, which is nice too.
Yep. And you have to be okay with your mom walking in and letting everybody know she's your mom.
Oh my God.
Before you even know she's there.
Name dropping, for sure. Name dropping.
The name dropper parents, because... Yep, it happens. It just happens.
I worked at a place called Pastimes Bistro here in Omaha, like, oh my God, years ago. I think I was like 19 or 20, because you can serve alcohol at 19 in Nebraska. And they came in for dinner one night, and my mom had, she was like, I'm going to drink, it was a gin and tonic night for mommy. and she, I think by the third, I was like seriously at another table taking order, and she was like, Andrea, I need another gin and tonic. I was like, I've never been so embarrassed. They go, is that your mom? And I go, yeah, that's in there. And everybody laughed, but I was just like, yeah, that's my mom. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was talking about.
They don't separate. They do not separate it. You are their child. You know what I mean? And they want what they want. And like Michael says, like, just that's the moms are who want what they want.
Now picture that happening in a like 5-star Michelin rated.
Oh Lord.
Restaurant here in the city. Yeah. Same exact scenario.
What's your mom's name, Michael?
Mama Gladys.
Mama Gladys. Oh, Gladys is such an underused name.
I love it. I love her to death. She's my life.
And Michael, Brooke and I both have mothers where if you put a couple little drinks in them, boy, oh boy, do they get sassy.
Oh, yeah. My mother will fight you. Because my last birthday, it almost happened. She almost fought a table of lesbians because they cursed at her. Oh, my God. She'd kill me if she knew I told that story.
Oh, well, Gladys. Whatever. But like,
tell my mom, please.
Don't worry. Our parents still can't find the podcast button on their phones.
Oh, I know. So. I think that when your parents come, and especially when you have your, you know, moms who have a couple of sips of whatever, they think they're like, I'm in on it. I work here too. Like, yep. I am part of everything. Chatting. When I worked at Buca di Beppo, I do not have my Buca bell.
Hold on.
Thank you. There we go. The old Buca bell. There's a thing, if you guys didn't know this, where you can sit at the kitchen table. Right. And so you go in and you sit in and you watch the expediting. And like every time there's a runner and you show the people like what you're taking out. Now, that is service. Now, when my mother sat on that in that kitchen on that table, she got, I mean, there was yelling. They were like, oh, she knew all the like line cooks by name by the end of the night. And
why,
they were all talking
this turned
with
into
each
Tony
other.
Tony and Tina's wedding.
Oh, like, very much. Yeah. Yeah. But they encouraged her to do it. You see, is the thing. Like I wouldn't have done it. I was just like, oh. And I think that, and this is another thing when your coworkers are out to embarrass you and your family.
Yes.
Oh my God! Shout out to all the extra moms out there. The moms that are just extra. Like,
I love the scenario where you go up to your manager and you're like, I actually need to be cut because my mom just grounded me. I gotta go to my room.
I have to go unload the dishwasher before I can roll my silverware.
So funny.
Oh my God.
It's a whole, yeah, it's a whole cute thing. And I will tell you what, especially visiting the bigger cities, my parents just, my dad especially, he hates to feel like he's a tourist. And so anywhere that someone has known me and said, oh, these are your parents, Brooke, like, that's, those are the only places he ever wants to go back to. He doesn't want to learn anything else about New York City ever again. He wants to go to the neighborhood dive bar where they remembered his name. And my mom and dad both got comped 2 rounds of wine. This, it was so funny. This is like typical. This is when we're together versus them coming to see me. But they'd never had a bartender pick up rounds for them. They were like, I'm sorry. Aww. What? And it was before dinner, and we'd each had 3 huge glasses of wine. And I lived across the street from the bar. My mom said no word to us. We turned our back for a second, turn around, lights are off in my bedroom where she was staying. The box fan was turned on. She had pajamas on and the covers pulled over her head. And she fucking went to bed at 5 p.m. because she was day drunk.
Same thing with my mom and the gay bar. There's a gay bar here in Manhattan called Jim, G-Y-M, mm-hmm. and which she calls Gay Young Men's Bar, which it's, that's not what it stands for. It's just the gym.
But it's pretty good, though.
It was good.
How about it could be Gladys is Your Mom's Bar?
Yeah, it could be that, too. But they love her there. They know her by name, right? If she's meeting me in Chelsea, I'll tell her to meet me one place. Nope, she'll stop in. Right.
Yeah.
And get a pint of a vodka orange juice all to herself.
Yummity yum. It's the little things.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely let us know if you've got parent regular problems and how you handle that at your place of work. And to wrap up the episode, I think the other side of this that gets way more dicey in terms of you keeping your job is the friend situation.
Yeah.
When your friends come to work. And Andrea first, like at the top of this topic, you know, mentioned that very different rules. If you're the bartender and have to curate your night, it's really encouraged. But for every other situation, I think as young servers and bartenders, we've all learned the hard way in either getting reprimanded or getting fired from overdoing it with friends coming to visit and giving away too much.
Totally. I even think it's like weird and be like, we'll hang out later. Why are you go? What are you doing? Just meet me over there when I'll text you when I'm off. Like,
right.
Yeah, or they come during dinner service and expect you to drink.
Right. Oh, yeah. Like take shots and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So if this is more like advice to that friend out there, that this can be a stressful, surprising situation. I think it works best if your friend who is serving or bartending has said, hey, Monday nights after 10 are when it's best for me to have friends. And we all know. We go to that bar where you see the corner with the 3 people sitting, you know, side by side by side at the stool where the bartender is fully leaning and ignoring everyone else. You're mm-hmm. like, this is their slow night. This mm-hmm. is the night that they can choose when they want to serve the regular customers. But right now they're bullshitting with their friends.
Absolutely. I actually think that's like really, and it's true. Like the more you think about it, like I love the nights that you can have to curate and those are the most fun nights anyway. That's where the I'll close up shop and we'll go to like a 4 or 5 a.m. bar on a Tuesday night happens. Like that's when you and your friends get into trouble.
Right. But I feel like because younger people are seen, you know, we are younger folks. And especially when you're in your 20s, you're definitely seen as a grubber. So when you are coming into your friend's place of employment, if a manager or someone catches wind of it, I think what sucks is they will start watching you, the server, like a hawk and seeing if like, did something just go out there that shouldn't have gone out there? They're going to double check your receipt. So I think it's another situation where you get ahead of it. And I think the classy move, if you're the server, is can I buy my friends a round of drinks? Mm-hmm. And they're either going to say yes, or if they're cool, they're going to be like, I got this one. I think, though, you have to communicate so that they don't think you're fucking comping and stealing shit because mm-hmm. they get real weird when it's your friends.
Totally. If not, just tell them to come see a drink. Power hour.
Yes, not power hour. And I just wanted to add a little tag to all of this because different states have different rules. And here, the dining is weird in New York City. But if people are trying to give, at least in my mind, if people are trying to give you free-ish at this moment in time when they've been closed right. down for 7 months, can I just say, please say no and yes. pay for it.
Yeah.
Like,
very well
you're
said.
Out there. Like, it happened to me with one of the gay bars because they were having a GoFundMe to save them. And then I went to go support them, right? Outside dining, socially distant, you know? And then she tried to comp the bill. And I was like, you no. have a GoFundMe going. What are you doing? No. Absolutely yeah. no. not.
It is, like, but it's like, it's so like... It is a lot to be like that mentality is still there with everybody that like you mean so much to them. Just seeing your face is enough. But like it's absolutely true. Just like throw all your. Yeah. So pay for everything and tip the shit out of every, you know, just give them totally. All the money you can.
Or just ask for a rain check. Be like, oh, my God, I love that you did that. But like, can we do this in like 5 months when you're like open to full capacity?
Yeah.
Like,
then we can just laugh about it.
Can we laugh about it and let me just pay for this now?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. My local coffee shop is doing a warm clothing drive for Skid Row. And it was like, donate coats or a blanket or sweatshirt and get a free coffee. And I came with like a big load of stuff and put it in there. And he was like, all right, that coffee's on us. I was like, absolutely not.
No way,
paid
no way.
For it and over tipped. I was just like, I don't want a free coffee. In like, I was like, it was a two pronged thing where I'm like, I want to help people regardless. And you guys are so sweet. But like, you've barely held it together the last 10 months. I'm paying for my goddamn coffee.
Yeah,
you
listen,
know?
And like, oh, I don't have millions of dollars. I barely got a thousands of dollars, right. if that.
But I have coffee money. I have coffee money.
But I have coffee money. And if I'm going someplace, I can, like, I obviously can afford to be there. So, right. like, just... Do the right thing is my message, right?
Yes.
Is a nice way to come full circle through the whole conversation, I think. Do the right thing, folks. Lead with grace and gratitude.
Absolutely.
And have low expectations and do the right thing.
Yeah. And when we're all able to be back together, like they said, just be on your best damn behavior when you go see your friends at work. Michael, it was so nice to meet you. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
The pleasure was all mine. You've warmed Good. The cockles of my heart.
Oh, I love
and,
it.
You know, we're excited to start, you know, teasing out some bigger and better things that we're all going to be doing together at some point in the future. So, guys, definitely go support and check out In Your Mouth Pod. And you'll be hearing more of all of us collaborating at some point very soon. Wow, it feels exciting to just even start teasing out what we're up to, everybody. but yes, guys, check out In Your Mouth Pod. Thank you, as always, for listening to us. We love you all to pieces. Andrea, we love you. We miss you.
Thank
all
you.
Your love to your family.
Thank you.
Return home safely soon, and we will talk to you all next week. Until then, you know what we say, Godspeed.
And good tips, guys.
And good health.
See you later. ¶¶